Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate.
Ford has a better idea.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Ford plans to sell its luxury brands Jaguar and Land Rover. The luxury car business has been a huge financial drain for Ford, which lost more than $12.5 billion last year. That's the largest in its 103-year history. The Financial Times says the company has hired investment banks HSBC, Goldman Sachs, and Morgan Stanley to help set up the deal. Both car models will be sold together. Just 3 months ago, Ford sold sports car firm Aston Martin for $924 million. Asian markets were mostly higher at the close of business today. European markets are advancing in early trading. On Wall Street yesterday, investors didn't move the needle much. The Dow was flat. It starts the day at 13,424. The Nasdaq also flat. It stands at 2,572. And the S&P barely moved, up a point at 1,509. Nicaragua is the second poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere after Haiti, and its president, Daniel Ortega, is looking for investment money wherever he can find it. Right now, he's on a 10-day trip to the Middle East, including stops in Libya and Iran. Meanwhile, today back at home, Nicaraguan officials begin a new round of talks with the International Monetary Fund. From the America's Desk at WLRN, Dan Gretsch has more.
Daniel Ortega is traveling to the Middle East on a luxury Boeing jet provided by Libyan dictator Muammar Gaddafi. American University's Bob Pastor calls it canny negotiating. President Ortega wants the IMF to loosen its reins on Nicaragua's economy.
He wants more funds with less strings. And to the extent that he has other options, his bargaining position vis-a-vis the IMF is strengthened.
Ortega says within 5 years he wants to be free of the IMF, a desire echoed by many left-leaning presidents in the region. Larry Burns directs the Council on Hemispheric Affairs.
These Latin American countries are attempting to develop alternatives that don't depend upon Western-style institutions.
But first, Nicaragua would have to do something about the billions it owes international lenders. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Bird flu has spread more widely in Asia. 15 Vietnamese provinces are affected, and birds that died of the disease have been found in Hong Kong. When it comes to human cases, 5 Malaysians with flu-like symptoms were hospitalized last week. And on Saturday, a girl in the south of Egypt died. So do these cases mean there's cause to worry that a flu pandemic is more likely? From the health desk at WGBH, Ellen Palmer has more.
Of the 300-odd human cases of bird flu the World Health Organization's recorded, almost two-thirds have been fatal. Last week, a soldier in China died of bird flu, and of the 99 Indonesians infected, 79 have died. That deadliness has health authorities here worried, says Jeffrey Levy of the advocacy group Trust for America's Health.
Congress is worried, too, and has been appropriating a significant amount of money to improve the federal government's and state and local preparedness, but we still have a long ways to go.
Now there's a vaccine for bird flu and a stockpile of antiviral drugs. But Levy says the country's public health delivery system's not at all prepared for a pandemic, and most Americans haven't collected an emergency supply of food and masks. Why not? Preparedness fatigue, says Levy. It will take a human case much closer to home to scare people into action. In Boston, I'm Helen Palmer for Marketplace.
Apple is releasing a version of its browser that can do something a little different. It can run on Windows-based PCs, and it's free. Steve Jobs probably has a vision of growing Apple's share in the computer market, but investors aren't seeing it yet. Shares of Apple fell about 3.5% after yesterday's announcement.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, in recognition of graduates pursuing careers in health and science and the teachers who inspired them. The Medtronic Foundation, on the web at Medtronic.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
As more consumers look for ways they can help fight climate change, there's a growing interest in what different companies are doing as well. Well, beginning today, it'll be easier to figure that out. A group called Climate Counts is ranking some of America's most popular companies based on their response to global warming. And as Sarah Gardner reports from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, the group begins with a look at the burger and taco business.
Climate Counts is the brainchild of Gary Hirschberg. He's the environmentally savvy CEO of Stonyfield Farm, the organic yogurt company. The idea behind this campaign is to let consumers know whether their favorite brands are engaged in the fight against global warming.
Are companies measuring their impact on climate? Are they reducing? Are they disclosing their efforts? And finally, are they supporting or are they blocking progressive legislation to reduce our climate footprint as a country?
Climate Counts scores companies on a scale of 1 to 100. Of the four fast food giants they judged, McDonald's scored highest, a 22. Burger King, Wendy's, and Yum Brands, owner of Taco Bell and Pizza Hut, all rated a big fat zero. Climate Counts project director Wood Turner.
None of the other companies in the sector have even taken the first step to measure their climate footprint.
Turner described McDonald's score as not good, but gave the fast food leader credit for starting to experiment with green building, biofuels, and other eco-friendly changes. McDonald's said it welcomes the scrutiny. Yum Brands didn't comment by deadline, but Burger King and Wendy's said they were addressing global warming with energy efficiency measures. Wendy's Denny Lynch.
Early results are showing we're decreasing the amount of usage, energy usage, by 10%.
But Climate Counts says in this day and age, companies can't be shy about publicly reporting their green efforts. How else can activists and consumers judge them, after all? Morningstar analyst John Owens, however, wonders whether fast food's core audience, young, hungry guys, will care.
By and large, I would say that fast food customers probably aren't as engaged on this issue. I mean, maybe they're getting more news about what Paris Hilton's doing rather than what's going on with global climate change.
Climate Counts will score more companies next week, including Coca-Cola, Apple, and Starbucks. Gary Hirschberg's own company, Stonyfield Farm, will be rated as well. He says his organic yogurt biz ranked in the upper tier, but he was still disappointed in the score. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.